001, the second class Shir and Bitachon. You didn't miss anything. You missed that we thanked Mr. Schaefer for the use of our house. That we have to repeat. Okay, so we were talking about concentrating and focusing on the parts of davening which talk about Bitachon. And we're saying it's a lifetime avoda. It's very hard. It's easy to say the words, but it's very hard not to rely on the things that we do. So the Emet Hashem, Shar HaBitachon, will teach us how to develop Bitachon, and it'll tell us the proper amount of Hishtadlus to do, and how to feel about the Hishtadlus, and where to draw the line. And Emet Hashem, it's an avoda, as I said. Some people look at Bitachon as just a feeling that everything's Biat Hashem, and whatever happens, happens. That's how some define it. Others define it as a sort of a Kol Ma'adovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tavovid, that everything's Biat Hashem, and whatever he does is for the good. So it's that attitude that everything's for the best, which again is certainly a true attitude. And some say it's Bitachon ideally is that you trust in Hashem so much, he indeed fulfills. People here heard the story of the gold watch with the Brisker Rav, and right, he gets the gold watch because he truly developed his Bitachon to that degree. Some say it means hope. There's Rabbeinu Yonah in Mishle that really implies that it just means to hope. That's how he defines it. And all these things have their place, but I prefer to see it as an active verb, an active avoda. Our responsibility is to work on relying on Hashem. And it's like once a day, you should try to do it in a simple matter, to realize, as we'll learn now in the Chayvus Halvavos and Mitzvah Hashem today, that there's no such thing as an independent person. No one's truly independent. Everyone is always relying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with his interdependence. You're always relying on someone else or something else. No one can be said to be truly independent. So to stop and to focus that your real reliance is on Hashem, and to say it, Rabbi Gemilah Zatzal always used to say, but make sure you say it when no one can hear you, because they'll think you're crazy. So say it to yourself, that I'm really relying on Hashem, not on the engineer, not on the person that's driving the bus, and not on the person crossing the street. I'm really relying on Hashem, right? And you think that, but you have to mean it. And if you really meant it, then you wouldn't be nervous that you're going about it at 9:30 instead of 9 o'clock. Which, right? Because that's how you know if you really mean it. Because if you really mean it, then there's no difference between 9 and 9:30. So you're a half hour late. So you started doing whatever you're doing. You're looking for a job, and you started off the day late. So, okay, well, you're relying on Hashem. There's no difference. So if you were lazy, that's a bad mean, the laziness. Then you should worry. But the petty things that throw us off and that make us right away, that give us stress, that stress us out, that make us anxious and nervous. So if we really meant it that we're relying on Hashem, you put an ad in the paper, and you worry, a customer's going to come. So you wouldn't worry if you really meant it. That you're not relying on the ad. You're putting in the ad because that's what a person is supposed to do. But you're, of course, relying on Hashem. So then you won't be nervous. Because if you're relying on Hashem, there's nothing to be nervous about. If you're relying on the ad, then you have to be nervous so much to see it, and you're nervous that they should notice it, and they shouldn't read your competitor's ad, and all sorts of things stress us out. But if you're truly relying on Hashem, then that won't happen. So we have to develop it. So let's start the Chayvus Halvavos. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. If it's a baby, yeah.
A lot of times if you're worrying about something, let's say using the example of the ad in the paper, so you put an ad in the paper and you're worrying, are people going to... It doesn't necessarily have to be a stira with your bitachon, because you say whatever happens is for the best, it's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, but you want to know what's going to be, so that's what the worrying is about, not necessarily the worrying about...
Well, that's a different midah. Wait. First of all, you brought up a different midah that whatever happens is for the best.
It's in Hashem's hands.
Yeah, that's not... I'm stating that's not bitachon. I'm relying on Hashem to get me customers. I'm relying on Hashem.
So then what was the purpose of the ad to begin with?
Because it's a shtadlus. If it wouldn't be... And maybe you have to ask a shayla. I had someone ask me a shayla. Should I take a full page ad? Why? Should I take a half page ad? What do I need a full page ad for? What's the difference? Is there a difference between a full page ad and a half page ad? I'm not going to say what I answered him. But it's a very good... You hit it on the nose. So why take an ad? We only take an ad because Hashem wants us to do what's considered to be normal hishtadlus. Why Hashem created a world, Chavis Alvavus will talk about. And he will give certain suggestions why Hashem constructed the world in that way. But that's exactly the point. The ad is, we do what we have to do, but we rely on Hashem.
And that's over.
If you're relying on Hashem, there's nothing to be worried about. Then you'll feel, if you're truly relying on Hashem, then you won't worry. There's no place for worry. You might worry, Shema Yigrom HaChet. You see, if you're relying on Hashem, you say, maybe I don't deserve to have customers. Maybe I'm Yigrom HaChet. That's because the Chavis will talk about. Why? Because one of his principles is that a person with bitachon will not have stress, will not be anxious. But then he talks about the Shema Yigrom HaChet. Maybe you'll be anxious about that. So he'll talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, but if you're, let's say, you're relying on Hashem that a test to check for an illness, Chas V'Shalom, and if you're relying on Hashem that everything's going to go okay, and if it...
No, that's very important. You see, if
what makes you not
relying on Hashem does not mean that everything will be okay.
Right.
That's
so
my
you
point.
How do you get the nerve, the anxiety?
If something exists, you're talking about a different scenario now, and it's a very good question. You're saying, let's say something exists already.
Right.
There's a state that exists, and you have to find out what it is, and you're nervous because maybe it's something, it's not good news.
Right.
So how should you feel about that? So there, your attitude would be that you're relying on Hashem to take care of you. That would be your attitude.
And if it comes out positive, that's taking care of you?
You're relying on Hashem that He's taking care of you, that He's taking care of your health. Not the doctor's taking care of your health, not the lab technician's taking care of your health, not the doctor, not the person who's telling you what this means. These people are just shluchim. Hashem is taking care of your health. So maybe it'll turn out to be benign, maybe it'll turn out to be something more serious, but there's a refuah for it. Hashem's taking care of your health. If you develop that feeling, that attitude, that reliance, that I'm relying on Hashem to take care of my health. So whatever will happen, will happen. You say you go on a bus, right? And you're relying on the driver to take you to the usual line. So maybe it'll be a flat tire. Yeah, maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But you know you'll get there. I mean, you're relying. They're responsible to get you there. You punched your ticket. So maybe the bus will break down. Maybe it'll run out. You don't worry about these things because you're relying on them. You're sitting back. You fell asleep. And you're going to wake up. You're going to be in Yerushalayim. That's what it means to rely on someone else. A person is very, very wealthy. Right? You ever notice? This is how we think that if a person is very wealthy, we really put wealth in the place of Hashem. We like to think, if I was only rich, let's say money meant nothing to me. I had like oodles and oodles of money. We all dream about that. Right? It's all in the bank. So you say, and then someone came and told you, you know, your child's failing in school. No problem. I'll hire a tutor. you're sick, you develop no problem. I'll hire the best doctors, right? So you feel you can face anything. We feel, either subconsciously or consciously, that if we only had a limitless source of money, if we had a limitless source of money, then nothing would bother us. We'll just, the kids will get, I'll hire another babysitter, I'll hire another tutor, I'll do anything, nothing is going to get in my way. So if we substitute Hashem for oodles of money, because oodles of money doesn't do the trick, and nobody has oodles of money, and even if they did, they could lose it like that. But if we substitute HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, and we truly feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there and we're always just relying on Him, then the fear and the nervousness will dissipate. It's really a little... it's not an easy thing. And it's not a simple thing. And we really... That's why I want to learn Chavis Halvavah Shahar Bitachon. And it's many, many pages long. And it's going to take many, many weeks to learn it. And he deals really with all these issues. So I feel kind of funny talking about everything that comes up when we barely started. We haven't even started. So maybe we should start. That's the Eitzah. Okay. Hashar HaRavi. So this is the Psicha, the introduction. Kibet Shekvar Hikdamnu L'dabar Al Chovos Kabbalos HaMeshma'as L'Hashem. The previous Shar discussed Avodas Elokim and a person's basic obligation to be osuk, to be involved in doing Hashem's will. And Grada, as people know, or if you don't know, you'll hear it now, that the basic Chavis Halvavah approach to that is Hakaras HaTov. That's where it comes from, the Chiyuv to be involved in Avodas Hashem. Ra'isi, I saw fit. Lahasmich lekach es hadobor. Now Kapach says hachomer biyoser al haoved es Hashem yisale. But I see Ibn Tibon says hatzorich biyoser. So I'm not quite sure what Kapach meant by it. But in this case, based on the flow of the sentences, I like Ibn Tibon's translation better. I'm not sure what he meant to capture by the word chomer. It's certainly essential, and it's very essential, but the flow of what we're going to be learning now, it fits in better really to say Hatzorich Biyoser. It's the most necessary. I want to now talk about the most necessary thing on someone, the most necessary thing to someone who wants to serve Hashem. In the previous shiur, I talked about a person's obligation to do Hashem's will in this world, to do things that pleases Hashem, to do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has pleasure from, that He wants us to do. So now the most essential thing to someone serving Hashem is V'hu HaBitachon Olav V'chol Inyonav, that in all your matters, whether it's spiritual or physical, Olam HaZeh matters or Olam HaBo matters, we should have Bitachon. We should rely on Hashem. That's the most necessary attitude that there is. Why? Lefi sheyesh bekach mimeirav hato'alios, because that carries in it the most benefits. Be'inyonei hados, when it comes to ruchni yustika matters, v'ha'olam, and gashmi yustika matters. Chaim Lvovitz says an amazing thing in these first few lines. He says... He doesn't say it's the, I would have said, or I would have expected him to say, it's the most essential thing, because it has to do with emuna. It's putting emuna into practice, because we certainly believe Hashem runs the world. We believe Hashem exists. We believe He runs the world. We believe in Hashgacha Pratis. We believe that He controls everything. We believe He's omnipotent and omniscient and knows everything and is in charge of everything. So the very next step, as we said last week in the name of the Ramban, that emunah should bear fruit, in the words of the Ramban, is to have bitachon and to make it real, to really believe it, and to act in our own lives with that certainty that that's the case. But he doesn't even say that. He says, The first thing I want to talk about is bitachon, because that's the most essential thing. Why? Because that has the most benefits. Now, that'll help us the most in our avodas Hashem. That's how the Chodesh of Avodas puts it down. That'll help us the most. It has the most benefits, meaning it'll help us the most as we go through life. It'll help us the most in Ruchnius, and it'll help us the most in Gashmius. That's the Chiddush, because it's a Chiddush. You say, what'll help me the most in Gashmius is money, or power, or, power and money. That's what'll help me the most. If I'm able to control things, then I'll be able to do what I want. She says, no, what'll help you the most in spiritual matters and in physical matters is having bitachon. And now in the Hakdama, he's going to list, and I don't know if people here are familiar with the Sefer Chodesh Halvavos or not, but he's like an analyst. And when you go through, he's always making lists. And he's saying, okay, there are 7 aspects to this, and 5 aspects to this, and 13 differences between A and B. He has a very, I call it mathematical mind, analytical mind, a statistical mind. That's his style. His style is very, very number analytical, and he's always making lists. So maybe it's easy to chazer. As you go through the day, you could review the Chayvus HaLovis. You try to remember the 7 things he talked about. So in this Hakdama, he goes through the benefits of bitachon, how it helps you. It's really a very smart way to start off. He must have been a very modern pedagogue. He says, the reason I'm going to talk about this first is because this helps you the most in your life. Okay? So he starts off saying, "Bnei to'alto bo b'inyonei doso." First I'll talk about ruchnius. How does it help you in your ruchnius? So the first thing he says is, "Mehen menuchas nafsho." He talks about gashmius, really. Because the truth is, in this world, we really can't develop our ruchnius without proper gashmius. That's how Hashem created the world. He created a world of gashmius that we use, and we have to have a degree of it, and he wants us to work on it and have it in order to then turn our attention to spiritual matters. So he talks about menuchas nefesh, that you can't develop. He's saying an amazing thing here. I mean, it's not amazing. He's saying a fundamental thing. You can't develop your ruchnius. You can't develop your relationship with Hashem. You can't work on your ruchnius unless you're serene, unless you're calm, unless you're not stressed out, you're not nervous, you're not anxious, you're not upset, you're not depressed, you don't have stress. You have to work on these things. Menuchas nefesh. A person has to be calm and serene. So the very first benefit that bitachon will give you in spiritual matters, he says, is that it'll have you be calm. It'll calm you down. It'll calm you down from stress and from anxiety and from nervousness. Mehen menuchas nafsho, v'hishano, and his reliance, his serenity, and his reliance, al boro yusala. You're serene, you're like walking with Hashem, you're buddies with Hashem, and he's taking care of you. You're relying on him to get you through the day, you're relying on him to have supper ready on time. He's there, he's with you. So you just, that's all. So if he wants you to, you will. And if he doesn't, you won't. So everybody has to do their best, because that's what Hashem wants of us. But the reliance, you know, it's not in your hands. Something can happen, and the plans of the whole day can turn upside down. So you know it's not up to you, that you don't control it. So you're relying on Hashem. Kifi shechayev ha'eved liftoach al rabo. Now, I don't think he means, it doesn't, chayav like you say, the Eved is mechuyev. The Eved is not obligated. You wouldn't talk about a servant, a slave, being obligated to rely on his master. It's much deeper than an obligation. It's the natural state of the Eved. The Eved has nothing. The Eved knows he has nothing, right? He has nothing. He wakes up and he has nothing is his own. He could be out in the street tomorrow. So he's, we would say in Hebrew, I guess, we would say he's mechuyev to rely on his master. But not mechuyev in the sense of, oh, I'm mechuyev to make a bracha. I am obligated to do this. The Eved is not obligated to rely on his master. He, you say, like, I owe somebody $10. You say, I'm mechuyev. Right? In that sense, it's a state. It's not something that you're obligated. You say a person's mechuyev hodah. I owe you, you know, I have to give you thanks. So that's what he means. Kmo shechayev ha'eved leftoach al rabo, he means just like an eved, his natural state, he has to. He has to rely on his rav. He has nothing of his own. So we have to rely on Hashem because there is nothing else to rely on. And now, Chavis Lvovitz says a tremendous chiddush and a very big principle that this principle in itself can be talked about much. He says, Lefishim lo yiftach al Hashem, yiftach al zulaso. That's what I said before. No one is truly independent. A person will say, I don't trust anybody. I don't have faith in anybody. I only have faith in what I could feel or smell or taste myself, what I know to be true. But that's not true, right? Then he'll get on a plane and he's trusting the pilot that he knows how to fly, that he's not drunk, that he slept enough the night before, that he's not upset at somebody or something, and his mind doesn't wander as he works the controls. You're always relying on something else. Or you're relying on your own intelligence. So you're relying on your ability to do things. You're relying on your mind to work. You're relying on your avarim to respond to your command. So the Chavis Lvovitz now says, very, very, it's a little difficult concept to umisha botach al zulas Hashem. If someone relies on something other than Hashem, indeed, misalek Hashem hashkachosom bimenu. Hashem says, okay, have it your way. You want to forget about me and rely, and he's not talking about a person that's trying and struggling, because otherwise we'd be lost, because this is a lifetime of avoda. When a person, it's very easy to give an example here from Israel, right? That's the easiest thing. You want to rely on America for your security? You want to rely on them? Okay, have it your way. Indeed, Mesalek Hashem Hashkachasu Mimenu, Hashem removes a certain level of Hashgacha Pratis, where Hashem is taking care of you, and Hashem is carrying you, so to speak, and Hashem is watching over every, and bestowing everything you do, and bestowing Chesed upon you, and Hashem says, oh, you want to rely on this person? You want to rely, you can't wait to finish davening, because you have to go to someone for a loan. So you zip through davening and you go to that person for a loan? Okay. You know what? I'll let you, Taka, have to rely on that person. And let's see how far you get. And this is an amazing thing he says. He says, Hashem calibrates the degree to which he indeed is carrying you to your level of bitachon. Someone who trusts in something other than Hashem, Mesalek Hashem, a tremendous chiddush, is a rishon. Chavis Lvovitz is a rishon. Mesalek Hashem hashgachaso mimenu. Hashem removes his personal hashgacha from him. Umosro bidei also shenishan olav. So if you forget about Hashem, and we express our bitachon much of the time through davening, sometimes it's hard to just talk about it in the middle of the day, right? It's an attitude, but davening is probably the, I would think, Tehillim and davening is the prime place where we express it. But Hashem says, are you having faith in the doctor? Okay, have it your way. The year bedargas mishenemar bohem, and here we have Klal Yisrael exactly in the time of Bayis Rishon, exactly, I'll say like Israel today, because it's just a beautiful example how they keep relying on, I mean, you're talking about people who have no concept of Hashem, so it's not even a chiddush, but it's just this dynamic where you end up relying on something, and then whatever you're relying on turns around and betrays you, or is shown to be an empty shell, or is shown to have not your best interests at heart, or can't even take care of themselves. Even if they had your best interests at heart, and even if they were truly your friend, but they can't even take care of themselves. So the Novi says, and he has a right from a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and the Pasuk's a tremendous Chiddush. The Novi is talking about Bnei Yisrael doing Avodah Zorah, so you'd say, what they do wrong, and then doing Avodah Zorah. So the Novi analyzes it and says, Kishtayim Ros Oso Ami. They're doing two specific things wrong. Osi Ozvu Mikor Mayim Chayim. They left me. So you'd say, what comes after that? Right? What comes after that? They left Hashem. They did Avodah Zorah. The Navi says Hashem has a taina on you. Lachsov lahem boros boros nishborim. You went and you dug in the Navi's picture. You dug useless, broken pits. Useless pits. Hashem says to us, you know, I could maybe understand it if you did something worthwhile. You're not allowed to. You get an avera. You'll even get punished. But that's only half the story. It deepens the betrayal. It like exhibits a foolishness. It exhibits am novel velo chacham, or on a personal level, people. You say you're trusting this person to give you a job. You're trusting. What is he? Who says he's secure? And who says he can help you? Who says he wants to help you? Who says he's going to do what's best for you? So the Navi splits it into two. Shtayim rol sasami. You left Hashem, and you gained nothing. It's not even it's no contest. What you do? So it exhibits such a shiftless. It exhibits a really such a lack of trust in Hashem, such a lack of knowledge of what Hashem is, that you're running to boros boros nishborim, and that's really always the case, because that's what the point of the Chavis Halvodas is, that we always trust in something. So to the degree that we remove our trust from Hashem and we trust in anything else, we should realize that anything else we're trusting in is temporary, anything else we're relying on is temporary. We don't even know. If it's able to do it, if it wants to do it, who says it will be able to do it? We don't know. It's nothing. It could have an obstacle in helping us and doing. It doesn't want to. It changes its mind. Well, it's boros nishborim. So Hashem set up that dynamic that if you do it, then he says, okay, have it your way. And Veneria, like my Yuchalom Olsov, so to speak. Okay, we'll stop here. I don't know. We'll see how this works with these questions. I don't know.
Isn't the best example of not having trust is when one takes 10 tickets in a raffle because one wants to win it? Whereas Hashem can give it to you on one ticket.
Yeah, so what?
I'm saying that.
Well, I don't know. I have a door in my apartment in Yerushalayim, and if you turn it once, it locks, but then it turns again.
right? You know what I'm talking about? In Israel, it's like lux again. So I lock it twice when I leave my house, but I don't understand why. Why am I locking it a second time?
You can't get the key out otherwise.
I'll show you to it. No, you could lock it once. Why am I locking it? It's really a chisar and bitachon. If you leave your door open, that's foolishness. A lot of ganovim around, and you're not allowed to leave your door open, or even unlocked, unfortunately. Even on Sorotskin, I'm sorry to say, even in Yerushalayim on Sorotskin, you can't leave your door unlocked. It's a lot of Arabs around. We'll be down Lekatzchus. The stores, unfortunately, hire Arabs to work, and there's a lot of Arabs making deliveries, and they like to quickly open a door, run in, snatch a pocketbook, and run out. But why am I locking it twice? And I ask myself this, and I try to only lock it once. I say, I'm relying on Hashem, so there's no difference once or twice, that I don't think. Can someone tell me, maybe, if you make me feel not so bad? Tell me if you lock it once.
Where does the Shtabbos come in? Like,
right.
Why isn't maybe twice is making it harder for the...
But how much harder? Like, it's not logical to me. It's certainly going to stop the casual ganav.
I mean,
and two lots is not going to stop the determined ganav either.
So what about an alarm on a house?
Everything's a question. I really hesitate to flippantly answer you. Everything is an issue. Yeah. Everything should be an issue. Every step we take should be an issue. Yeah.
The more lots or the deeper they go, even the more determined ganav, it takes more time for them to get in. It's more likelihood of you coming home, somebody walking by.
But maybe it's. But even if I'm not on a high madrega of bitachon, maybe I should be. How much of a madrega of bitachon do you have to be on to say that no ganav will get past one lock?
You have to have bitachon that there'll be an open door.
One lock?
Because that already is like crossing a highway, right, against the light, with cars coming and saying, I trust in Hashem to protect me. That you're not allowed to do. So it's true, in some areas, perhaps. Locking the door is itself potentially problematic. Unfortunately, I'm afraid in urban areas, it's locking the door is something that you must do. But to lock it twice, I feel very weird about, and I try very much not to. I have to work on it.
But you're just buying yourself more time. If somebody's going to try, the harder it is to get in.
But so where do you draw the line? So then I can buy an alarm system, and then I could hire a security guard.
But at some point you're saying I no longer trust in Hashem.
Right. So where's that point? I think the point should be after one lock, after one turn.
But one lock is not hard to break. Down
there.
Not difficult.
Okay, if that's the case, then in the Hanami. If that's considered, if you would call the police and say, based on your statistics, based on your knowledge, I want to get just one lock, it's cheaper. Like, what do you recommend? And they'll say, don't be foolish, lady. They cut through that like a hot knife through butter.
But that's why they have rubber in this country, because with one lock it is enough.
If that's the case, then en hachanami, then that becomes your basic hishtadlus level, if that's the case.
I would think that it has more to do with the symbiosis that was described here. That the more bitachon you have, the more you rely on other things, the less HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have his specific hashgacha. So it's not a matter of me trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about me trusting my own level of bitachon. I might not be on the level that I can afford to have the flimsiest lock. I don't have that kind of bitachon. I need to go to the best doctor. Because any doctor is my hishtadlus, maybe.
Yeah,
any...
But the person has to work on themselves. What's wrong with the second... Does a person feel bad that they don't have enough bitachon to go to the second best doctor in the whole country?
Shouldn't you try to get an appointment at the first doctor?
I'm not sure why. What's wrong with the second doctor?
Any doctor.
What's wrong with the second best doctor?
Because he's done more surgeries. He's had more experience with that particular
surgery. If the gap between the first and the second is that, maybe. You're right. But if it's just a question, Jews, unfortunately, we have to get the best doctor. What's wrong with the second best? What's wrong with the second best? What's wrong with the second best? Honestly, what's wrong with the second best? Do you read in the paper every day that everybody botches operations? They botch operations. Only the best doctors don't botch operations?
But isn't it nice to find the best doctor?
Why? What's wrong with the second best?
I don't know. I'm like sure I'm going to
find the, you know, the second best is pretty good. And the third best is pretty good. If you want to tell me you don't want to go to some guy that just graduated medical school, you know, Jackie Mason has a joke, you know, you go to a doctor, you know, but he flunked stomach. And you're going to him with a stomach problem, and he flunked stomach. He graduated school, but he flunked stomach. He just got an A in lungs. But you have a problem. So that's his joke. Good. So maybe he's right. But the best doctor, I feel very not comfortable with that. My son had a hernia, I think. So, you know, we called up the Benny. Then go to a hospital that people, Meissen Bachalion, people get hurt and they fix them. Come on. Really.
But the best is subjective anyways.
Not always.
Talking about Ishtadlus.
Because they all have track hit records until you meet the one person that had a lousy experience with that same doctor.
But you're relying on Hashem. Nope. So you go to a competent doctor. Mm-hmm. So you need the best doctor? What's wrong with a competent doctor? Well, it's not partial. I'm not sitting here condemning anyone or anybody or Benny Fisher, really. But it's something to think about. It's something we have to deal with. What's wrong with a competent doctor? Why doesn't a competent doctor fill the need of Ishtadlus? Because I'm relying on Hashem anyway. So what's wrong with competent?
Because if you had a spiritual issue and you wanted to discuss something in Rachnias, so you would go to a
Chashev Rav. Excellent, because okay. In Ruch Neyus, you're not supposed to have
the
talk on.
Because
we're going to learn that in Ruch Neyus, the commanders, you're not supposed to have bitachon. We're going to learn that. Okay. And besides, people do come to me. It's difficult. It's really hard to bat out answers. And somebody asked me, someone asked me a few years ago, they took a ticket and it was more expensive to go El Al than Continental. But the security on El Al is better. Are they doing something wrong? That was the question to me. So and the flight was, I said, when's your flight? They said, tomorrow or in a few days. I say, now you have to go El Al. Because there's no mitzvah to go Continental and sit there with your heart thumping the whole time and your palms sweating. The time to have asked me the question was 6 months ago when you could have learned through Shara Bitachon. Then you need preparation. What's wrong with Continental? They don't hijack planes every day, you know. Really. So the amount of security that El Al adds, is that Ishtatlus or that Chisaron Bitachon? It's a question. But my point was, indeed, as you said, at the time the person asked me the question, I said, you better go El Al. You're not accomplishing anything by going Continental and being nervous. The point is not to be nervous. Not to go, there's no mitzvah to be nervous. Like people ask me, they were going to Hebron for Shabbos, I think it was Nogaya. So I said, will you be nervous? They said, yes. I said, you're not allowed to go. I can't tell you to have bitachon. It takes a few months at least. But you're not allowed to go. It'll ruin your Shabbos. You're not allowed to go if you're going to be nervous.
What about statistics?
Statistics are very important. Right.
Does that play a role?
I think so, but I think statistics always end up